Joker.
The Grinch!
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear from dispatch. Have fun!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 61 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. So, Seth, what have you been up to this week?
I had a wonderful week. Just like an hour ago, I got to walk outside my house and see a tiny glimpse of the SpaceX rocket launching. Heavy cloud cover, lots of rain here in Orlando, but still got to see a little glimpse of it through the clouds.
That's awesome.
And I got to go to Universal's first day of holiday celebrations, which I have a feeling we might talk about a little later on.
Maybe.
Most importantly, we adopted a new member of our family. His name is iPhone 12 Pro Max.
Oh.
And he's
beautiful.
He's worth more money than I am, actually. If you melt me down to component parts, he is actually more valuable, and I love him very much. How was your week?
Well, I also added a member of the family, and I want to show you guys what she looks like sitting next to my television. That is my digital edition PlayStation 5. She's tough, she's big and obnoxious, and I love her.
I gotta say that placed against that kind of funky modern angle of the the breakfast nook or shelf,
yeah,
behind it, it's kind of like a piece of art. It's very,
wow,
you know, it's very geometric. It also looks really precarious. Like, if I ever had a pet or a child or an average male in my house, I would be so worried about someone just taking a wrong step and knocking that right
Listen,
off.
Listen, look
it looks
at
top heavy.
Right there. Like, it's 10 pounds is how much it weighs, like 10.9 pounds.
It looks like it's in some sort of corset, like that's like, you know, it's on high heels or something, and it, yeah, could just topple at any moment.
Well, we didn't have the room to lay it horizontally, so this, mm-hmm, was kind of what we have to do. And then our Google Wi-Fi has to sit here because it has to be in range of our second router at the back of the house. So we just had to kind of finagle things around. But so far, Brody hasn't knocked it off the TV stand.
This is contemporary home decoration where everything's feng shui is determined by the Wi-Fi signal.
It has changed how we set up certain parts of the office in the living room for sure. But I've been doing that for the past week. It showed up in the morning on Thursday last week, so it was pure torture to work all day and just see it set
see
up
it in the corner.
Yep, just like I can't be playing that right now.
And since you finished work that day, have you had time for a shower or anything? Your just hands have just now melded to the new controller.
I sleep on the couch. I eat through two. I don't sleep. No, I'm just kidding. I've been playing a lot of Bugsnax.
Seems reasonable.
And Animal Crossing, Assassin's Creed, mm-hmm, Valhalla, just kind of biding my time until Horizon Forbidden West and God of War Ragnarok come out next year. But yeah, it's been fun. I am an early adopter of next generation gaming for the first time ever, so it's like weird and cool. And haptic feedback is incredible. I don't want to play games without it ever again. So, highly recommend if you can find one.
Yeah, good luck with that. From what I've seen of people on my Facebook feed pleading for anyone who can help them get one.
Listen, I shed metaphorical blood and actual sweat and tears over getting that thing.
Anyone who promised one to your child this holiday season, may the odds be ever in your favor.
Agreed.
You might just want to move out of town now before Christmas.
It's like Jingle All the Way with Turbo Man, except PlayStation.
Yeah, I remember Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah.
I'm that old.
Well, first up in... Well, wait, I didn't even do the thing. What am I doing? Shall we get into news in the queue?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
First up, something I'm super excited about. Marvel's WandaVision now has a premiere date, an official one. It's been pushed back a hair. It was supposed to come out this year, but obviously with 2020 being 2020, things can't always go according to plan, but it will now be premiering on January 15th, 2021 on Disney+. And this is the first not only Marvel TV series that we've gotten that's live action from the MCU, but it also kicks off phase 4. So we're in a new era now.
They have shown us just enough clips of this to make me wonder what the heck is going on in this show. Visually, it looks amazing, at least in a lot of the footage they've shown so far. I guess the first episode has like an old 1950s sitcom feel. I think they even... talk to Dick Van Dyke to try to like recreate the look of the old Dick Van Dyke show, which I think is amazing. I don't entirely understand where this fits into continuity or how Vision is back after he seemed to be killed not once but twice. But if this ties into Doctor Strange and the multiverse, then anything is possible.
I have a theory, and it makes me nervous, because they're trying to present it as like this funny sitcom, like happy thing, but I feel like it's just like a mirage of happiness, and then underneath it is actually like lots of trauma and stress.
I have a feeling that this is some sort of, I don't know, fantasy world either created by Wanda to cope with the events of Endgame, though she seemed to be kind of on the path to recovery by the end of the movie, or maybe imposed by someone else to trap her in this. I guess we're all going to have to tune in starting January 15th to find out. What I really want to know is... if this is all part of the very carefully planned phase 4, where then is Falcon and Winter Soldier going to fit in? Because I believe that was originally supposed to premiere beforehand. If this is going to come out first, I guess there's not going to be any direct overlap or any spoilers in one for the other.
Yeah, and then we're supposed to get Loki next year as well.
That one's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait for that one. I think it's shooting right now, or they paused shooting for COVID. Next up, Dollywood is in the midst of their Smoky Mountain Christmas celebrations. And I went to this last year, and it is magical. Dollywood at Christmas is just something else.
This is pretty high on my list of parks I've not been to in the United States that I really want to.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's got a great collection of rides, but it's the entertainment that really makes that park special from everyone I know. That and the food.
Oh my gosh, you have to get the cinnamon bread. That's like a delicacy. You have to do it. Dollywood was like my Disney World where I grew up. We would go every year on school trips and stuff like that. So I grew up going to Smoky Mountain Christmas, especially. But it's exploded since I was a kid. Like this year, they're having a new fireworks display called Merry and Bright. And they also have a variety of entertainment going on throughout the parks, including a new show called Heart of the Holidays that has Dolly Parton's family singing songs from her new Christmas album. Lots of cross promo there. Sometimes Dolly will even be there, so you never know. She was there once when I made a school choir trip, so
that's amazing.
Yeah, I saw her from afar. I could see the hair, but you never know. And then Glacier Ridge is a section of the park that leads into gosh, I don't know what the land is called, but it's where Mystery Mine and leading into Wildwood Grove. And it's beautiful. They have these LED lights strung up above you and you walk through them and they are sequenced to make it look like it's snowing. It's cold because it's in Tennessee in the winter, but it's just, it's so atmospheric. And that park is built with the land instead of just plowing straight over it. So one, wear good shoes because you will regret it if you don't. But two, it just moves with the land in a way that a lot of parks in Central Florida can't.
I know exactly what you mean. Everything here in Florida is so flat. You know, we have something that's 50 feet tall and call it a mountain. These pictures of the holiday celebrations at Dollywood really remind me of last year. I got to see Hershey Park for their Christmas event. And that park's very similar too, built, you know, into the hills along a river. And that natural terrain just gives such amazing backdrops for them to put these lights.
It just feels so homey too. So if you get a chance, highly recommend it. Get the cinnamon bread. You won't regret it. And ride Wild Eagle at night.
Ooh.
Because that, it goes into the hills and, oh, it's so much fun. A little nauseating. You can actually, when we went, I rode every single coaster the entire day, just back to back to back. Not a good idea.
Yeah, and then ate the cinnamon bread. And
then went home and wanted to die. No. So,
don't be like her. Don't do that.
Don't do as
I did. Learn her lesson.
It was super fun, though. No regrets. Speaking of winter fun, Legoland California Resort, despite not being open to guests fully, they are not letting that stop their holiday plans. So starting on November 20th and through January 10th, 2021, guests can celebrate the season at the park with, you guessed it, retail and dining opportunities, shimmering lights, live entertainment, and of course, Lego Christmas tree. Once again, the California parks are killing it with what they are able to do by offering us places to spend our money.
I mean, to be honest, you know, having visited Legoland Florida for Christmas, most of the best stuff about their Christmas celebration are the outdoor decorations that were already socially distanced. I don't really go to Legoland to try to squeeze onto the rides. So the rides being closed, and it's no problem for my adult-sized body. But what I think is interesting is they've kind of set a new price point here, haven't they? Because it's going to be $15 to get in the door. I believe that's the starting price of admission. Yep. Now, so far, Knott's Berry Farm has done some food events, and they have charged admission, but you kind of get that money back in food once you're inside.
Yeah.
And Disneyland is going to be charging, I believe, $10 for parking when the retail at Buena Vista Street opens. But this is the first. I'm not sure if maybe San Diego SeaWorld San Diego SeaWorld was first. But a $15 price point, it brings up the question, how much are you willing to pay to go to a theme park for a day with none of the things that make it a theme park? Or at least very few of them. Is $15 a reasonable price?
See, I think Knott's, what they've been doing with the Taste of Festivals is a better deal because you pay, I think it's $35 to get in, but you automatically get like a tasting card with redeemable food punches and drink punches on it.
And having used those at other Knott's food festivals, I say those are great value. So I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think that Legoland does offer a lot of value with their decorations, and depending on how Lego crazy your kids are, $15 to get out of the house and be able to walk around the park could be worth it. I'm curious to know though if annual pass holders are going to be exempted from that fee or not.
I guess I'll have to
visit Legoland.com/California to find out.
Yeah. Speaking of more Christmas, we're just all Christmas this week. SeaWorld's Christmas celebration is back at SeaWorld San Antonio with three new experiences for this year. For this year, guests can enjoy the Christmas Market, which is returning as the centerpiece attraction with a distinctly Texan feel. I guess that means Santa Claus wearing a cowboy-style costume.
I love the Christmas tree made entirely of cowboy boots.
I have seen that. It's hilarious. For entertainment, they have a Christmas bluegrass trio, which sounds delightful. And guests can also see mischievous elves, dazzling tunnels draped in twinkling lights, and physically distanced holiday wishes sharing with Santa Claus. So if you have a PlayStation 5 on your list, might want to tell the big guy.
You can share your wish from more than 6 feet away.
Yeah.
Please.
The storybook vignettes of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer are back, and the characters are also able to take photo physically distant things, so you'll be able to see them as well. And then for seasonal shows, they have The Story of Christmas, which is a live outdoor nativity scene. The Merry Mariachis, which I feel like I could get tongue-tied if I tried to say again.
Say that three times fast.
Elmo's Christmas Wish and Clyde and Seymour's Countdown to Christmas, which is Clyde and Seymour are a SeaWorld staple. You can't not do
absolutely.
That
absolutely.
And then they have, for this year, the elf-guided, but it's self-guided, Christmas Traditions Tour with capacity limited to just two parties. And this experience includes a photo with Santa, an exclusive meet and greet with one of the park's animals, reserved seating at a show, a holiday mug filled with hot chocolate, and a light-up Christmas necklace.
Most importantly, for the first time ever, a Hanukkah celebration.
There you go.
They're going to be lighting the menorah on December 10th through 18th. And there is also going to be a Kwanzaa festivities that is going to be celebrating that festival with nightly lightings.
And then they have a Christmas fireworks finale that will take place over the park's water ski lake happening on November 21st and 28th only. So if you want to see some Christmas fireworks and you're in the San Antonio, Texas neighborhood, check that out.
You're in the state, not exactly in the neighborhood, though.
No, it is a good drive away.
A good drive or a bad drive?
I would call it a bad drive, but it's certainly not a fun drive by any means. And then, of course, they have all the sweet treats that you could imagine, including mini donuts with dips. Sounds like the donut place at Epcot. Holiday churro bites, seasonal candy, and, of course, hot chocolate. They have a variety of dates, and the event runs from 1 to 9 p.m., so you can sleep in a little bit if you want to check it out. It looks like fun.
I think you should take a road trip and you can just like stock up on s'mores and just go on a sugar high, just drive the whole way back. You'll be fine.
S'mores are my weakness. This I was very interested to find out. So some of you on Dis Twitter may have noticed people posting photos of this thing down here. A strange obstacle course that was set up in front of Cinderella Castle for maybe 2 or 3 days, and then it disappeared. And everyone was like, what is that for?
I'm so glad to have this mystery solved, because I was one of those people who was there the day after they put this up and took pictures, and I was like, are they doing Double Dare? Wasn't that Nickelodeon?
I was like, are they testing like a new pilot for a Double Dare knockoff? What is this? Turns out it's a Disney Channel holiday special called Disney Holiday Magic Quest, which sounds like a tabletop RPG.
This is actually really not fair, because once I read about it, I'm like, why do they have to have Disney Channel stars do this? Why can't I do this? Why can't they let us volunteer? Because this sounds like a lot of fun.
Disney Blogger Magic Quest.
I don't think it would get as good ratings, though.
And
It wouldn't even make it to Disney Plus. It would be on Disney Minus.
Oh no. Well, if you want to tune in, Raven Simone will be virtually hosting the challenges, which features Zombie 2 stars Milo Manheim, Kylie Russell, Ariel Martin, and Pierce Joza as they compete in a holiday adventure around Magic Kingdom, where, and this is the premise of the thing, Disney villains Maleficent and the Evil Queen have stolen holiday magic. And the Disney Channel stars will have to overcome obstacles and compete in challenges to restore the joy of the season.
Yeah, they kind of make it sound from the description like Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom meets Legends of the Hidden Temple. I don't know if the show can actually live up to that in my mind. But it looks cool. It looks like it's a combination of like obstacle courses and things where they have to actually ride attractions. It seems a little like trying to follow one of my ultimate touring plans and you know, do every ride in the park in one day. That could also be a show.
I would watch that just to see if people could do it, but then throw in something like you have to eat one churro from every churro stand in the park as you're riding all the rides or something.
Yeah. The modern version would be you have to use hand sanitizer at every dispenser around the park. My.
How would you even keep up with all of those? The four stars will also be competing for a grand prize to benefit Toys for Tots. So this is all going to a good cause.
Yay.
You'll be able to catch it on Disney Channel Friday, December 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern. And who knows? Maybe if it goes well, they'll let the adults play for once.
Please.
Please. I'm still mad that they brought that Quibi wanted to reboot Legends of the Hidden Temple with kids, but now Quibi doesn't exist anymore. So we all lose.
Another reason to dislike Jeffrey Katzenberger.
This cute little thing happened today over at Epcot.
This made me smile so much.
It's so unexpected and precious. Over at Journey into Imagination with Figment, he's got winter wear. It's so simple and cute, but I just love it.
Yeah. So the idea of someone finding the budget and getting approval in Walt Disney World's Byzantine, you know, labyrinth chain of command to put an ugly Christmas sweater with the vintage Imagination logo on it onto the Figment animatronic. This will instantly double attendance at this ride. I mean, this is the only thing that could possibly get me onto the Imagination ride is just to see him in this sweater. They need to market this. Whatever genius came up with this needs a raise like yesterday.
I want plushes of this. I want dog sweaters of this, especially. Make it happen. This is so sweet and cute. Do more like this, Disney.
And honestly, I know they're cutting employees, they're delaying projects. We're not going to be seeing any big new rides, you know, announced anytime soon. This is the kind of stuff that will keep us fans happy. So, you know, it doesn't cost you a lot. Keep this kind of stuff coming because we're suckers. We will lap this up. I have no shame in saying I'm here for ugly sweater Figment.
We're literally talking about Figment in a sweater as part of the news. I think that shows where we stand.
And you know that like their holiday budget, their marketing PR was like, oh, this is what we should push. Oh, we spend all this money on this. This is what we got to advertise. This was probably, a $200 line item on that just got buried in some budget somewhere. And that's going to be the one thing that goes viral.
Yep. I love it. It's precious and I want to protect it with my life. And then I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So if you didn't know, the cruise industry is trying to come back after being shuttered effectively across the board for COVID-19. And in order to do that, the CDC is requiring them to do simulated voyages where they test out their various COVID-19 procedures and safety and health protocols. And in order to do that, they need guests. So certain cruise lines are offering opportunities for guests to sign up and experience a cruise for free. I don't know if it's free across the board, the free cruise, but you might get sick. All jokes aside, what do you think about this? Because at first I'm like, yeah, free cruise. But then I'm like, my health.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I was talking about this with my wife just the other night, and she is very cautious and thought I was completely insane when I brought this idea up. And I said, I wouldn't necessarily go on I don't want to go on some spring break booze cruise, out of certain cruise lines that I won't mention by name for fear of liability. But some of the cheaper cruise lines that I've been on before, I wouldn't go back to, even if it was free under these circumstances. But I've always felt very safe on Disney Cruise Line. I've always felt like they've had exemplary sanitation. And so I said, you know, if Disney offered me a free cruise, I would not turn it down. But then just today, I got an alert on my phone about one of the very first cruise ships that was out testing and had one passenger test positive.
Yikes.
And I believe this cruise had done tests of every member of the crew and passengers before setting sail, when arriving at port, when they were in port, they just went straight to private beach, no contact with any locals. But they decided that because they were doing all this testing, that people didn't need to wear masks. And so the last I read that one person was confirmed positive, and waiting to see what happens. It just takes one person, and your little 4-night cruise is suddenly 2 weeks of quarantine. I don't know. This is one where I don't know if I'm gonna be volunteering for this until I've first volunteered for a vaccine.
Right. I think I would be in the same boat as your wife. I am overly cautious when it comes to COVID, and going to the grocery store is like a whole thing.
Yeah.
I definitely would not sign up for this initially until after a vaccine was readily available and widely dispersed. And even then, I would probably still wear my mask and be careful not to touch a whole lot of things.
Yeah, and like I said, this is just an alert I saw on my phone, and I didn't dig into the details, but it makes you wonder about testing, especially the rapid tests that a lot of places are talking about using. They've got high false negative and false positive rates, and if that's what you're relying on when you're bottled up on a ship with a bunch of people, it just takes one false negative to make for a really bad cruise.
Yeah. So we implore that you exercise caution if this is an opportunity that presents itself to you.
Then again, if you are young, healthy, have absolutely no dependents, and have a job that does not mind if you disappear for a month or so, hey, go for it, and please write in and tell us about it.
Yeah, I would love to hear a first-hand experience from one of these. Do it. And then last up for news in the queue this week, something that the theme park community has been foaming at the mouth for, and they finally got it. The POV for Iron Gwazi at Busch Gardens Tampa. And I gotta say, it made me want to poop my pants.
if you put it on a big screen and sort of rock back and forth in your chair, get the simulator effect, this thing's gonna be epic. The height on that first drop, you just don't think that a wooden coaster or a hybrid coaster can do something that tall and that steep, but it does.
It makes me nervous just looking at the picture.
We put up a really cool side-by-side video that sort of shows you how the new Guazi compares to the old Guazi. I'm having a little trouble wrapping my brain around it. I see how they match up in a lot of places, but wasn't Guazi originally two coasters? Wasn't it originally a dueling coaster side-by-side at one point?
You are asking the wrong one. Because by the time I moved to Orlando, it was long closed.
Yeah, I had always thought that Guazi originally started out. I know for a long time they only ran one track, but I thought it was originally built as a dueling coaster. And I'm just curious if the new track is following which of the old tracks it's following. Because it seems to be maybe even a little shorter in terms of ride time as one of the old tracks. It's probably got more footage just because it's so tall, and it's got... Yes, thank you, Drew. I wasn't crazy. Yay! I mean, it doesn't mean I'm not crazy, but on this particular point, I'm not losing my mind yet. It's amazing that it's replaced a dueling coaster, and it feels even faster, and... Boy, it's a lot more intense. And I'll just be happy if it's not as shaky as Guazi was before it was retired, because it was that brutal ride towards the end.
Yeah, there's actually a roller coaster in Dollywood that I loved when I was a teenager, and then I got on it as a late 20s adult, and it did a number on me. Because it's Mystery Mine, for those of you that don't know, and the seats kind of wrap around your ears and box your ears. Oh man, it's the worst.
It doesn't get any better in your 40s, let me tell you.
Great, I'm so excited.
It's not suddenly start improving. Yeah.
But man, I can't wait for this thing to open so then I can have lots of pre-ride anxiety about it in the queue and then love it when I get on it. I can't wait.
Yeah, this is one of several coasters that are going to make 2021 the biggest year in history for coasters in Florida. I mean, it's the lineup of stuff we've got coming to the Central Florida area is just incredible.
Yeah, if you're a coaster fan, you might just want to like block off a month or two of your time.
If social distancing is still happening with the lines, you may need a month or two.
Yeah,
or
right.
Get through
book
the
that
month.
Airbnb now.
Yeah.
But that's everything for me for news in the queue. And Seth, earlier you mentioned that you got to do some fun stuff at Universal.
Yes.
For the holidays.
So the holidays kicked off at Universal Orlando on November 14th. And I got to stop by and check out almost everything that's going on. I didn't stay past dark, so I missed some things like they are doing not the full projection show, but just some static photo op projections on Hogwarts Castle at night. But I did get to see most of the highlights. Most importantly, over in Universal Studios Florida, they can't do the traditional Macy's holiday parade, so now it's a holiday experience with the Macy's balloons, which is kind of like a haunted house without being scary. They've set up in one of the sound stages like they would put haunted houses in, but they've basically staged a bunch of the floats from the parade and the full-size balloons that have been blown up and positioned inside with lights and music, and there's some characters waving so you can take some socially distanced selfie photo ops, and most importantly, Santa is there by the exit, and you can choose to wait and have a distanced encounter at more than arm's length with Santa. Santa is wearing a red mask, festive red mask. And so are all of his helpers. It only takes, 6 or 7 minutes to walk through the thing if you're not going to wait in line to see Santa. But it's really beautiful. I got to give my new iPhone camera a workout because the HDR mode, beautiful for capturing the lights and the colors. There was less than a 5-minute wait to walk through it. They do have a virtual line system set up in case you're there and there is a crowd wanting to get in. But it was great. You know, they send out a person or a party and give you a little bit of space like they did for the haunted houses. Plenty of room that you take pictures. And that was a really fun experience and a great substitute for the parade. In addition, they've also put some of the parade floats with characters out throughout the park. Like I saw the sisters from Despicable Me out on Hollywood, and they're all dressed up from the holidays. The other big addition this year is the new holiday tribute store, which is exactly like the Halloween tribute store, except even more scary, because you walk through this giant marquee of a nutcracker, a traditional nutcracker with his mouth open. And I swear that's more terrifying than anything in the Halloween store. But it's really charming. It's the same sort of layout as they used for Halloween. They actually improved it a little. Instead of having a treat room with a counter halfway through that kind of blocked up the crowd flow, it's now at the end as a series of stalls. You've got a room themed to a German village at Christmas time with digital projected snow falling, and you've got kind of a Grinch-themed room. And there's a Harry Potter section, which is very much like the Harry Potter Christmas shop near the front of Islands of Adventure. My personal favorite is the whole end section is themed to Earl the Squirrel, who you kind of have to be a longtime annual pass holder or you know, universal nut, too, pun intended, to get Earl. Earl has for years been a tiny little animatronic squirrel hidden inside the big Christmas tree that sits directly across from the entrance to this tribute store. This year, Earl is back and he is wearing a tiny little face mask. Don't be a nut. Be like Earl. Wear a mask. Yeah. So they've got a whole end section of the store that's a tribute to Earl and treats. I brought home a gingerbread whoopie pie that was absolutely delicious.
There it is right there.
And if you were intrigued by the beating gummy hearts that they had at Halloween, but were just a little too disgusted to try eating one, this time they've used the same technique to make glowing gummy Christmas lights. So that's really clever. And in addition to the treats that they've got inside the shop, they've also set up some food trucks around the park. I saw a truck serving arepas over by Music Plaza. And the big hit seems to be the new funnel cake truck over by Kids Zone near Animal Actors.
That sounds great.
So that's what's going on over in Universal Studios Florida. And then this is cool, you can walk over to Islands of Adventure without leaving the parks by using a cutway that they cut through that they've opened at the side entrance over by Hollywood Ride Rocket. You can now walk directly into Seuss Landing without having to go through the front turnstiles. And over there, they're doing Grinchmas. It's not quite the Grinchmas that you know and love. The musical show is not happening this year, unfortunately. But they do have Whos, who are out in the streets. This is what I want to know. The Whos wear face masks like everyone else, but you can sort of see the shape of their Who noses underneath them. I want to know if they're going through all the trouble of prosthetic noses and then putting face masks over them, because that's the kind of attention to detail that I salute if it is. But they've got some Whos who are sort of behind a little garland over by some props greeting people, and they have a couple Whos who are up on stilts. They are the tallest Whos I've ever seen. And so they're, you know, 6 feet above everyone so that they can take pictures with folks. But of course, the most important part is meeting the Grinch. And the best thing that they have done in many a year is set up an online RSVP system. So you can book a time slot to meet the Grinch. You can either do it from home on the website, or if you're in the park, they have a QR code that you can scan and look for available time slots. My time was 2 o'clock. I waited maybe 15 minutes to get in and see him, which if you've ever tried to wait in some of those hour-long lines to meet the Grinch, can be brutal. The cool thing about this is they tell you it will be a photo with the Grinch, and they are absolutely right. He doesn't stand next to you because that wouldn't be social distancing. Instead, he takes the photo. You literally stand in front of a green screen, and he operates the Photo Connect system. Oh, and they use the green screen to put him into the picture.
Oh,
with
my
you.
God.
But he is so much fun. It's, you know, the face character version based on the Jim Carrey movie, not the fur character. So he's able to talk and interact. And the performers who do the Grinch are just some of the best improv people that Universal has on staff. He also did a few selfies with me. So that was definitely a highlight of my holiday season so far.
I would want to go and have him like be mean to me.
He will do it. Yeah. No problem. He will do it. I did get him to confess that he was behind COVID just because he did not want to hear Where Are You Christmas. He could not listen to Cindy Lou Who sing that song one more time.
I don't blame him. I wish that they were doing, was it last year or the year before, that they had the Grinch do cameos for free?
That's awesome. No, the Grinch needs money. The Grinch got furloughed for a while, and he's not doing anything for free for anyone right now.
Grinch, go on Cameo. I'll buy one from you.
Yeah, and so there's also, like I said, in the Wizarding World, there's decorations. On Saturday, they've brought back the Cinematic Celebration. One of those Cinematics.
Cinematic Celebration.
Yes.
I think Spectacular was the old
one. That was the last one. They brought the Fountain Show back in the evening for Saturdays. This is the big earth-shaking news as of the 21st of November. Fast and Furious Supercharged is back.
Oh, great.
To entertain the holiday crowds.
It depends on what your definition of entertain is.
I'm curious to see what the ratio will be. You know, if every other ride in the park has a 2-hour queue, Fast and the Furious, 20 minutes.
That's generous. A walk-on.
You know what? People who don't know better, people who have not been to the park since it opened, they may get tricked. They might have been naughty instead of nice and end up with a lump of coal in their theme park stocking. I'm not going to take that metaphor any further before The Rock comes and
the main takeaway is Supercharged is the lump of coal in our theme park stocking. Someone photoshopped that and posted to Twitter. But that sounds like so much fun. I particularly enjoy the holidays at Universal because it just feels a bit more silly than Disney. Disney seems very like whimsical yet traditional, but This is just like fun Christmas crazy.
It's a little looser. It's like Disney is kind of like going to Christmas at your grandma's, and Universal's a little like going to Christmas at your college buddy's house, you know.
Two very different experiences. But I'm glad you had such a great time. I wish I could be there for it. We watched a bunch of vlogs today, though, so it was like I was there in spirit.
And safer that way, too.
Yeah, and safer that way. I didn't have to wear a mask, and I got to eat chips as I was sitting on the couch taking a break from my PlayStation 5.
It's a rough life.
I know, isn't it?
Speaking of which, wish me luck as I do battle. Tuesday morning, I have a park pass reservation for Hollywood Studios. It's my first time trying to do the 7 a.m. Login for Rise of the Resistance. I may rise with the resistance and then go back to sleep with the resistance. So we'll see what happens.
you're going to need more than the Force being with you to score that. I saw, I think it wasn't even like a full second or 2 seconds when they launched it that they disappeared. So I wish you the best of luck and immediate falling back to sleep once you get it. But before we say goodbye, I would love to give some listener thank yous. In case you did not know, Attractions Magazine has a multi-tier subscription plan where you can pick out the tier that works best for you, Basic, Club, or VIP. And if you pick Club or VIP the week after you subscribe, you get a shout out on the Attractions Podcast. So without further ado, big thanks to John McMahon, Joshua Banky, Martin Pape, Raymond Sula, and Gail Funk. Thank you so much for supporting us and supporting Attractions Magazine.
Thank you. Keep this little
going. Ah, yeah. Clap. Crowd noise. Crowd noise. And if you're interested, our fall issue is available now, and our winter issue is coming. So you can head over to attractionsmagazine.com/store to pick it up. And Seth, if you would, tell the folks at home where they can find you on the interwebs.
As always, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @skubersky or at the UG series. And on the World Wide Web, that was a thing, right? People used to say that?
Once upon a time.
At theunofficialguides.com.
And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And if you go follow me on Twitter, you'll see me post pictures of all the various bug snacks, which your bug snack of the week is a bunger, which is a burger bug with fry legs. And it sounds like Swedish Chef when it makes its noises. Look it up. It's delightful.
Oh, my.
A bunger. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, and wash your hands. But most of all, have fun. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.